Thank you very, very, very much, Stefan. Baie, baie dankie. How does one preach after that now? Gets a bit heavy. But this morning it's an honor and a privilege to share the word with us. Yes, Pastor Richard is preaching in Piketberg. Piketberg, yes. That one. Ek brei altyd as ek bietjie Afrikaans moet praat, maar that's okay. So he's in Piketberg. He's the regional leader for Malmesbury and Franschhoek, Paarl, and now Piketberg. So he and his family is by that side. So now, thank you very much, church, for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. So let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Yes, yesterday, so Devin and myself, we did some leadership training in Stellenbosch. But as a treat, they decided we're all going to go watch the rugby game together. And we went to go watch it at the NLC in the Perk, not the Perk, what university is that? Maties. I'm from Poch, I'm sorry. So as we're sitting there, let me tell you something. I've never watched rugby with, can I just say, with like maybe secular people involved and stuff. So yesterday we standing, Devin and myself, and the game begins. And there's this one character in front of us. And he's like, he starts off with, "Fang the ball. Fang the ball. Fang the ball." And we're standing there, we're like, okay, we're like, maybe this is just, but the whole game, it's like, all I'm hearing is like, "Fang the beep, doon the beep, hey yo." And I'm like, oh, my head. I was like a bit shocked. Then I remembered something. I mean, like, you know what, let's put it this way, he's behaving the way he should, in a sense of, you know what, when we look at him, because we are believers, we understand we need to behave differently. When we look at him, is that he's behaving the way he should. Because, like, he hasn't met Christ, in a sense, if I can put it that way. So it was a shock in the beginning, but then I realized, oh, okay, no, it's fine. Listen, afterwards, maybe we must just approach him, you know, share the gospel with him. But then our hearts were a bit too heavy after the match, and we couldn't get to sharing the gospel with him. But I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every individual. And I believe that one way or the other, God will reach that man. And I just want to encourage us as a church also, that, you know what, because I was shocked. Most of the time I'm in the church where it's safe, if I can put it that way. Where it's safe, where I know Stefan is just going to bring me cake. And it's going to be lekker and I'm not going to share it with him. But it's like, it's safe in the church. It's very safe. And everybody's like, you know, brother, this is good. This is amazing. This is all. We are like, you know what, nice oiled machine. We're working lekker together. But the thing is, we mustn't forget that there's a world that still needs Christ. And we mustn't get to that space where we are too scared, in a sense, to engage with those with the people that's outside. Because Paul says this, how will the people know? How will the people know if nobody goes to them? How will they hear if there's no preacher? And I think sometimes we think, okay, when Paul says preacher, he's speaking about the pastor and he's speaking about the youth pastor and the elders. No, Paul is saying all of us. We are all ministers of the word of God. Freely you have received the gift from Christ. Freely you can also give it. And the best way to start off is actually with your testimony. And that's where I'm also going to share a bit about my testimony this morning. So, and I also just want to say this. Sometimes we get so concerned, especially standing in front here, of what the people are going to say. But today I want to say that I'm going to preach like a prophet. In a sense of, like, listen, I'm going to be a straight shooter. So just brace yourself. As you can see, something's going to happen today. Something's going to happen. They gave the youth pastor a chance to preach. and it's going to go wild. See, this morning, I think Lita's going to put it up there. But I'm wanting to speak about the heart is what matters. Only you and God actually know what is happening inside your heart. Only you and God really know what's in here. Because outwardly, I can be putting on a smile like everybody's prayed, like Boja has always got this smile on him. You see, I can put up that front, I can put up that smile, but what is really going on inside? Because the heart is what matters. And let's first read Revelation 3 verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. So basically, this is Christ speaking and says, I know you. I know you as a person. I know what is going on inside of you. Everybody else in Shofar Franschhoek thinks, hey, listen, this guy's got this amazing, solid relationship with God, but I know what is inside of you. And this was me in my previous church where I was leading the youth. And the youth was blossoming. We had up to 450 kids coming on a Friday. And it's going well. But inside, I was rotten. You see, outwardly, I was looking like this amazing young person full of fire for the Lord. But inside, I knew what was going on. I knew of the challenges I was facing, the stuff that I was scared to speak about because I was scared of the shame and the guilt that I would feel. So I pretended that everything is amazing. And you see, this is the thing about us. We can fool everybody, but we can never fool God. You see, and I want to challenge this church. God cannot change the person that you're pretending to be. God can never change the person that you're pretending to be. So this morning, I just want to be real before you because I'm wanting to share from my struggles so that you see it's like, oh my word, you're just saying these things. No, I'm not saying these things. I'm not just saying these things. I went through this. And for me, the worst was when the parents would come up to me after a service on the Sunday morning and would say to me, I wish my kids were more like you. You know what that did to my heart? It shredded me. Because I pretended to be something I was not. Matthew 23, 25 to 28. This is Jesus speaking also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but within they are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, so that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you are like tombs that have been whitewashed, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything impure. Jesus was challenging the Pharisees because in the marketplaces, they looked like those people that knew it all. They had their church clothes on. And that's what's been sickening to my stomach for a couple of years, actually, where I know, like, you know, I've got only my church clothes on. But inside, I'm not fully dressed with Christ. My heart is not actually belonging to Jesus. Because the Bible also says, if we say that we belong to him, we should walk as he did. We should walk as he did. So now I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying to everybody, I'm a believer. Am I really? I'm saying to people, I'm following Jesus. But am I really? Am I really following Jesus? If scripture says to me, listen, you are like a whitewashed wall, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of dead men's bones. And it says this, first clean the inside. The inside is what matters. The heart is what matters. Where God knows this, from this place flows the issues of life. I need to deal with this. And you see, we think first, no, let's deal with this. Let's deal with this. As long as the elders here, I'm at church this morning and I'm smiling, everything is fine. As long as we're drinking coffee, I can just say, brethren, the Lord is good. We have learned the church lingo so much that, you know what, we cannot even be real with one another anymore because we are scared of what Dirk is going to think about me. And I said to a couple of friends of mine, I'm like, listen, guys, I care more about this more than I care about this. This is like, listen, you can judge me, you can do whatever, but this is eternal. This is eternal. So I'm more concerned about God this morning than I am concerned about, like, oh, you come from there? No, 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 no. We've all got a past. And you see, what I love about the cross is that it levels everybody, every one of us. When you get to the cross, you don't come as a saint. You come as a sinner. And then after being on the cross, that's when Christ comes and he does the work of what? Sanctification. So you see, when I keep on pretending to be beautiful outwardly, Christ cannot work with me because I'm not being real about what's going on inside of me. And I got to say, this week was a pretty challenging week for me, where I was tested and tried. And on Friday, I had like a solid friend that lended an ear just to listen, because I was like, dude, I am so like, right now, can you please just stand with me? You know, I walked away from that thing not feeling like, ah, man, should I have told them? You know, when I got home, I had quiet time also, and I'm like, I sent the person a message. I'm like, listen, a time in the presence of the Lord did me good. But it was good also that I chatted to you. Because what was in the darkness has been brought into the light and now has no power over me. You see, church, I just want to encourage us. Can we stop looking at the people around us? What they going to think about us? You see, in your relationship with God, it's not you, Petros, and Christ. It's you and Jesus. It's you and Jesus. Listen, Petros and the Berg and whoever can think whatever they want to think. We need to be focused on Jesus and growing in the character of Christ. If I'm not growing as a believer, that means I'm not allowing Christ to actually shine his light upon my life. And the more I keep on praying this prayer, God, make me more like you, the more he's like, you need to deal with stuff in your life. You see, Foundations 4 is not only for the people that's been struggling with stuff for years. It's for us also. It's like, you know, as you pray for somebody, you would realize sometimes that, hey, listen, there's something also that I actually need to deal with in my life. So God works like that. And God placed us in this body, so that, you know what, we're going to sharpen each other. We're going to sharpen each other. And I want us, you know, at the end of the day, to have that kind of relationships where we can actually have open doors to people's life and be like, listen, what's going on? What is going on? And I spoke to Sister Liesl as we were going to prison ministry. I said to her, you know, sometimes we ask questions so that we feel better about ourselves. And we should stop that. It is not Christ-like. You ask a question because you want to help a person, not because you want to feel good about yourself. I was in that space where I would ask people, so how you doing? Yes, man, I'm better with this. I'm like, ha, I'm better than you. Because it's like, you know your struggles. But when somebody else speaks about their struggles, you feel so like, yes, yeah, at least I'm not that deep. It's like, no. You know, it's like we've put so much, we've leveled up sin. This is a high sin, this is a low sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Scripture that I just mentioned now, 1 John 2, verse 6. Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. We need to walk and conduct ourselves just like Jesus did. Matthew 3, verse 8, it says this. Bring forth fruits that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. If we say we are in Christ, we need to be producing fruits worthy of repentance. When people look at us now, they must see there's a huge difference to how we used to look 5 years ago when we accepted Jesus. You see, this Christian walk is not a once-off thing. It's a walk where God is going to keep on working in your life, because Paul also says this, we are all a work in progress. So Christ will be removing from us and working in us until he comes. So none of us can say we have arrived. Pastor Richard last week spoke about revival. You see, revival starts in our hearts. When we are revived, somebody's going to be like, I want that. I need that. It's like, you know what, in school, this is a bad example, but forgive me. In school, some guys would walk in and be like, yo, bro. Yeah, man, I'm ready for this exam. And you're like, what's up, bro? And they tell you, no, bro, I just used a bit of weed to just get over this feeling. And then you look at this person, you're like, yes, you look so calm and you look so ready for this. Give me that. You understand that? So it is very contagious. When you are revived, you don't need to tell anybody else to be revived, because they're going to see it in you and they're going to want it. You see, this is what we do. We preach so much about, hey, let's do this. But hey, how about we first check this? Because if it's in here, it will overflow. If it's not overflowing, that means we're not working in here. We're not working in here. We are so focused on something else. We can do the campaigns. We can do the outreaches. We can have the Holy Spirit impact. We can, but unless you are impacted, nobody else is going to get impacted. So it's about the heart. What is in your heart is what is going to come out. The heart is what matters. So Pastor Richard spoke about revival stories. And I remember once we were in Zambia on a mission trip. My wife was also there. The pastor decided, you know, we're going to give you guys an off day. And he said, let's go fishing. So we went fishing. But before I get to the fishing, you know, the thing about us, I have to put it this way, us Africans and Coloureds, we know our place. It's not in the water. It's on the shore. You see, going to the beach for us means something different. We walk, it's like, I am there. And that's it. You don't see us immersing ourselves. We are in the showers where we can control the water. That's our oceans. Like, too much, little bit. That's where we control our water. So I'm thinking now to myself, we're going to get on the boat. Firstly, I like rivers. But I don't like what's underneath. Excuse me. I don't like what's under the water, what's in the water. Because we're in, Zambezi River. There's tiger fish there. There's hippos there. There's crocs there. And I'm like, okay, here I will stay. And they're like, okay, they give you a fishing rod. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's try this. Put it in there. And I have never went fishing in my life. So if you love fishing here, church, I just want to say, you know, you're a different species. Seriously, because like, you know, the rod and you just wait. And you wait. We waited around about 2 to 3 hours. And finally, I caught the fish. And I was like, yeah, I was extremely happy. But when that fish came closer and closer, I pulled it out. And there was a lady standing next to me. And the fish came out and it was dancing, doing all kinds of moves. And she says, and she screams, "It's alive!" And when she said, "It's alive," I freaked out. And I started doing this. And chop, there goes the fish. The fish unhooked. And so, church, with revival stories, I want to tell you this. That the fish is going to be wild. The fish is going to bump us the wrong way. So you're going to come into church one day, because we're talking about revival, right? If your heart is not right, the fish is going to come in. And if you're home, Derek, or Stefan, or Liesl, you're going to find somebody sitting in your chair. What's going to happen then? He's an elder in our church. What is going to happen? Is it going to be that thing, oh my word, now I have to come to church a little bit more earlier so that, you know, I can find my seat again? Because, like, you know what, if I'm going to stand behind him, I'm not going to be able to see the words because he's so tall in worship, so it's not going to work out. What is going to happen? You see, church, if we are revived, we're going to be like, listen, that was never my chair. That was never my chair. So the fish is going to be wild. And they're going to bump us and rub us the wrong way. Now let's get down to business. So, can you please help me move this to the middle? Just want everybody to maybe see this. So, my question is this morning, what can the heart be full of that is not legit? What can the heart be full of that is not of God? Can somebody please tell me? And Devin, can you please come here, champion? So every time when somebody mentions anger, you're going to go like, shit. Okay, so we've got anger. What else? Jealousy. Okay, why jealousy in? Cell phone. Self-love. And a cell phone. Why that cell phone in? What else? Pride. Ooh. Bitterness. Unfaithfulness. Unforgiveness. What else? Bitterness. I think we've got bitterness. Let's add more, because bitterness is like, yeah, straw. Off. Ooh. Danny Rosita. Offenses. Unbelief. Unteachable. What else? Mistrust. Okay, let's get to a bit of maybe some of the sins. Envy. Sexual impurity. Okay, now I just got quiet. Give me more, please. Lying and deceiving. Quiet all in. Okay, so you can put the plastic bag down. So, you see, when the fish... Let's do it this way. When the fish comes in, they are wild. And I want to say this to us. All of us, we are full to the brim. We are all full to the brim. We are filled. So this is what's going to happen. If we are not revived,
Where's Chingy?
I promise I'll clean the church after this. What happens is, you know, the fish, remember what I said, they do all those kind of moves. So the fish will bump you. Work with me. What kind of fish are you? So what happens is, you can't, no, it's fine. So we are believers, Moose. So the fish keeps coming. And the fish is bumping us the wrong way. What is coming out? Whatever is in your heart is what's coming out. You see, no matter what you say, if you say you are a believer, I want to say to you things like this: anger, jealousy, offenses, stuff like this shouldn't be coming out of you. Why? Because you're conducting yourself as Christ conducted himself. Isn't that so? The goal of every Christian is not to get to heaven. It's to be like Christ. We're thinking, oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Ha! That's what we're wanting, right? But it's like, listen, on earth here, how are we living our lives? When we get bumped, what is coming out of us? I shared this story once and it shaped me. It shaped me. Somebody went all wild at me. And I felt justified to answer the person back. I'm like, extra your vase, eh? I was like that. And one of my friends came to me. And it's like, Moja. I'm like, this guy's got my back. He's just going to give me encouragement. He's going to be like, my boy. He's like, what comes out of you when you're being squeezed? This is what I did. I walked away. I went to my house. And I came back again. I looked at the guy. And I left him again. Because I knew it was true what he was saying. What is coming out of me? Moja, what are you filled with? Can you hold it like a fast for me? What is coming out of you when stuff keeps on happening? If we are not revived, church, and the people, if our hearts are not revived, and the people keep bumping us, this is what's going to spill over them. And I want to ask you this question. What falls on the people? Is it grace? Or is it acid? What are you full of? What am I full of? Because that is what's going to come out. Thank you, champion. Stay right there for me, please. There's a new cup. This is us. If Nita, can you put Galatians? I think we've mentioned all the sins up. You can go down one more. Actually, just hide it for now. Hide it for now. It's going to be a test. So the Bible says this. We must be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. You're only allowed to say one. I want to see. Kindness. Long suffering. What else? Love. Patience. Joy. Peace. Self-control. Okay. What else? Faithfulness. Nah? Okay. Now, we are so revived. We are so revived. We are walking in newness of life.
our hearts are ready to receive the wild fish, what is going to happen now? So the wild fish is going to bump you. And love is going to come out. Nah? And the fish is going to bump you again. Patience is going to come out. And again. Long-suffering. What else is there that can come out of a believer? Oh, my word. Joy and suffering, because sometimes it's like you're going to be walking such a road with a person, but it mustn't be a dreadful walk. It must be full of joy. Do we get this, church? Do we fully understand this? So, whatever we are full of, that is what is going to come out. And I've got to say this. Thanks, boy. You can sit down. Make sure you don't step on the coffee because of the new carpet. So, church, you see, I'm not saying that I have arrived where when I get bumped, that it's like, yo, peace, joy. I'm a pastor, long-suffering. I want to say this. Just last night, my baby was crying. And she's teething. She doesn't want to sleep. She's hungry. She doesn't want to eat. My wife tried. And I'm like, let me show you how this is done. Woke up there. And my wife says to me, just leave. And I'm like, Leafy, I've got this. She's like, just leave. And I'm like, I don't got this. But church, small things, big things, man, we are all full. But let us try that, you know what? The goodness, the joy, the love, and the mercy. That must be what we are full of. Because I can tell you, church, I've been in that space when new people were coming into the church. And then you feel threatened also. Because you're like, yes, see, what if they are better at this? What if they are better at this? And then you realize, but listen, let's get a mirror so that you look at yourself and you actually see what is inside of you. David says this, and the band can come up. David says this, listen, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Show me what is inside of me. Not what is inside of Derek. Not what is inside of Francois. Not what is inside of everybody else around me. God, me. The magnifying glass mustn't be on somebody else. It must be on you. Where you look like, oh my word, I need to deal with this in my life. You see, church, it's always easy to be like, my day. Ne? Iwe. Wena. You. I don't know how to say it in Chinese. Chaka. But if we keep on saying you, when we keep on focusing on what the people are doing, we can get a hardened heart. Where Christ is like, listen, I see. Christ is not blind to what is happening. Christ sees everything. But Christ is like, no, not there. Here. Let's work on this. Why are you feeling this way? Am I not enough for you? What are you filled with? What am I filled with? I've been in a bad space. I know what I'm talking about. Where you just feel like, you know, everybody around you is eating steak. And you eating chicken feet. It feels like that. It feels rough on you. Why is this one elevated more? And why am I like just there? Why is like the emphasis is on this and not why is no. Let's not be full of self-seeking. Paul says this, listen, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Say he gives us the golden rule of every mission trip. Treat others better than yourself. Celebrate. I think we've lost that culture of celebrating. Somebody gets a new job. Jesus, amen. Not like, when is my break? No. Celebrate. Celebrate that person. Celebrate your boss. Celebrate everybody around you. When you walk into your workplace tomorrow, be that light. You know what? And they're going to press your buttons because you've heard this sermon today. They're going to press your buttons. And I know I'm doing training also in Stellenbosch. After I'm done preaching, sometimes, you know, it's like people, like I just feel like it's like, poop. And I'm like, oh, but yeah, I preached about it. What is coming out? But that's what I'm saying, church. You see, Christ says, I am a light to your path. Yeah? Christ has already paved the way. Christ has showed us how to walk and how to be. And we should be walking in that and following in that. Christ used the word. And he said, it is written. Satan is like, throw yourself. He's like, it is written. Turn this into bread. It is written. He never once said, in the name of me, Satan, get away. He said, it is written. Do we know the word of God so much that we can say, listen, it is written that the fruits of the Spirit are joy, love, peace, long-suffering, patience, and all of that stuff. When we were interns, we would decide. Patience is what we're going to be focused on. I was one of the drivers to Stellenbosch on Mondays and Tuesday. And then we focus on what? Patience. And then you see them making coffee in the kitchen. And then you smile. And then you grin. Like, guys, we're going to be late. We're going to be late. And you start the car just to be like, hey, move a bit. And you see them laughing in the kitchen. And you're like, and then you realize you're dealing with patience, Mikey. You see, when we ask for patience, taxi driver is going to stop in front of you. I was driving with one of my friends and somebody just cut us. And I don't know what was I thinking. But that day, I want to say this, church. Christ didn't come out. My fist came out. And I know now that I'm sharing it, it's like, oh my word, that happened. Oh, it's like, but it happened. You see, I can dwell on that and be like, ah, man, I feel, no, listen, let's move on. Let us move on. We can see the things that Christ doesn't want us to have in our lives. Now, we're not going to dwell on this. This is not the place where we're going to be. We're not going to sit in our mess. This is not where we're going to be. This is not where we're going to find ourselves. Because sometimes, you know what, you can see that all these things are happening. And you can feel very comfortable in your mess. And you can feel very comfortable. There you go. You can feel very, very, very comfortable in your mess. And Christ is like saying, listen, I don't want you to dwell on this. I am showing this
to you so that you don't have to dwell in them, so that you can deal with them, so that you can carry on. Carry on with life. Don't dwell in your mess. Don't dwell in your sin. Christ came to give us beauty for ashes. So we walk away from this. We notice what we're dealing with. But we're saying, okay, listen. Okay, I need to replace this with the good stuff. And I'm dripping everywhere. But it's okay. So let us not dwell in our mess. Revival is coming. But revival starts with the heart. Let us focus on the heart. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for who you are this morning. I pray, King Jesus, that God, that you would speak to us in such a way that it's very clear, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you would just show us, God, what we need to deal with, God. What are the things that's in our lives, God, that is not pleasing to you, God? And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that we would walk away knowing, Heavenly Father, God, that you have provided the way. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who sympathizes with our weaknesses. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your grace that is able to carry us, God, through this mess, God, as you are doing your work of sanctification in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. This morning, if you just feel that, you know, there's stuff that you need to leave at the altar. You're looking at your heart right now and you know there's stuff in your life that you're just wanting to get rid of. That you're wanting to say, okay, God, I'm wanting to trade this in. I want to invite you to come to the front so that we can pray together. Invite you to come to the front so that we can pray together about this. Don't leave this place heavy laden. Facilitators, please make yourselves available to pray with the people. Is there anybody else that wants to come to the front? For the rest of us, I'm gonna close the service. Father, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness, God. We want to thank you for who you are in our lives, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that as we sang the last song, God, that you would give us clean hands and that you would give us pure hearts, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you would go before us, Lord God, into this week, Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that we'll be so consistent, Lord God, in producing fruits worthy of repentance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please enjoy a cup of tea and coffee and cookies in the back. Thank you for being here with us. Amen.